Ons vir jou, wat nou? Where the manna will discuss and cover all relevant topics and questions you might have on areas such as paspoorte, international rules and retirement, as well as internationale gesprekke with SAFA besigheidseienaars and restaurante abroad. Welcome to Season 3, Bits and Bobs.
Welcome back. It's time for another Ons Vir Jou Wat Nou podcast. We're in Season 3, Bits and Bobs. And however, even though the weather outside is not that great, we are looking forward to a nice warm discussion. Actually, well, me and Edwin. And just before we get into that, Edwin, how's life? What's going on?
Life is good. Thanks, Gordy. Yeah, life is good. I've recently started coaching at the local CrossFit box again. I say recently, it's been almost a month and a half now again, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So that's really brought some warmth into my life. And then I'm sitting next to the heater in my room. I swear it feels like summer. So I'm down to just my t-shirt and shorts. Shorts important though. But for the rest, now it's going well. It's going well. Looking forward cool. to this episode as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we actually, with a few friends, went to a restaurant, Braai. Well, Braai. Let me not say Braai like I'm not Afrikaans. And that was quite nice. We had some nice pork belly, ribs, steak. It was bikkie boerewors. It was a nice evening. South African flag in the background, even though we're in the Netherlands. It was nice. So anyone in the Netherlands, go give it a try. It just gives you that little touch of feeling at home. So
that's in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it's in Amsterdam in the western side of the city.
I heard you ordered vegan and the rest had some nice pork belly and steaks. And
look, I don't judge anyone for their diet. The decisions or what they eat, but that's a word or a concept that you'll never hear coming from my mouth. So
I must say I've been eating a lot less. Important word there, less yes. meat. However, if I were to go to that restaurant, I would not be eating vegan or vegetarian because I love eating plant-based. Don't get me wrong. But what I do not like is when they start making patties that supposed to taste and look like meat.
Yes.
I mean, I don't.
No, that's the thing. Point. Like, if you do something, then call it the new name. And I think also we are also eating less meat, definitely. But when you go out on a night and you want to treat yourself, then we don't. So, but yeah, all in all, it was a good evening. Let's not talk too much about what we did, and rather on the interesting topic we're going to discuss today. So just for some background, obviously, we've been in the Netherlands for quite some time, and you always, every now and again, have a new colleague that joins, and then either you hear of some pain points they have, and you have some tips because you had the same or it's completely new pain point. And you actually, and if I'm not mistaken, another Edwin, two Edwins together.
Yeah, correct. My naamgenoot.
Yeah, your naamgenoot.
What do you call that in English? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I actually have no clue. But so the two of you at your company thought, okay, let's put some notes on paper in terms of these, let's call it frequently asked questions, to in the future also help new people in your company. But I mean, and then we got to the idea of like, why don't we share it on the air? We've shared tips and tricks and things in the past, but even regardless of that, there are always new people, new questions. So we thought, let's give it a chat and discuss a few of these interesting topics. So over to you on that one.
Yes. So that was the idea. We called up HR and we said, listen, let's have a call about a few things. Like you mentioned, a few points that every new colleague faces. And we can maybe put something together, put like a document together that might just, even if it doesn't make your life easier, it just helps with, or the new start to your new colleague. Even if it doesn't make his or her life easier, it just helps with a little bit of expectation management. Just what to expect when you go for your gemeente afspraak, or the fact your medical aid, your or things like municipal taxes, you know. And I do understand this works differently in every country, okay, and the states different, potentially different for every state. But in general, there's a few things that we're going to discuss it from a Netherlands basis. But if you draw some of these, if you just draw a few things out of this episode, you might be able to apply, or you will definitely be able to apply it in wherever you are heading off to, or where you've been, where you are potentially already sitting, and you are, you're going to have a new colleague that's going to join you in the company there. You know, share these tips, share this episode with him, maybe draw up your own a few tips and tricks for him. This is basically maybe a little bit of a summary of season one, or we'll touch on many things that we've touched on in season one, and we'll put it all together. And but before we get into that, you mentioned you had a nice care last night, but you obviously had some beers. Yes. So let's do the Sapphire Index, because you've got a very special Sapphire Index for us.
That's true. That's I actually almost it almost escaped my mind to cover the Sapphire Index now in the beginning. So thanks for that, and a good what do you call that?
Bridge.
Yeah, I wanted to add a Dutch word in my mind, but a good bridge to the Sapphire Index.
Welcome to the Sapphire Index.
So yes, indeed, I had a look at what a 330ml bottle of Heineken will cost you in South Africa and then in all the countries around the world. And I must say, the most expensive country didn't surprise me, but the actual cost, that was pretty stiff. So just for the benchmark, this was in end of last year, the prices. So inflation could have played a bit of a role. It probably did. But all the prices back then were obviously comparable. So in South Africa, at that stage, it was R15.80. So let's say R16 for a bottle of Heineken, which is pretty decent. Also then the Netherlands, R17.60, which is very comparable given exchange rates, Europe. Obviously, this is the country where it comes from, so it makes sense to be cheaper. The UK, R24, the UAE, R33, New Zealand, R26, Canada, R37, and then going to the most expensive to America, R40, and then the drum roll for Australia that clocks in at R60 for a bottle of Heineken.
Unbelievable. I knew immediately it would be Australia and potentially New Zealand, because for some reason the beer there is just crazy expensive. I recall paying anything up to say $12 a beer, and that's almost 4 years ago. You know, normally you'll pay around $8 a beer, but no, it's just way too much.
Yeah, sure. No. So, but I mean, to me, R60 for a bottle of Heineken in Australia sounds extreme. So if this is incorrect, please let us know, because then I'm very curious to what it actually is. But I would say that wraps it up for the Sapphire Index for today. So hopping back into, let's say, the notes you can share with your colleague episode. I just want before you maybe dive into the first point, just want to touch on one thing you said, like this is based on the Netherlands and it might not be 100% relevant or not to some extent, but I think all the topics are relevant. Those are the triggers for yourself to go and look into those specific points, even though the way it works in one country is different from another. So I think all points are very valuable regardless of the country that you find yourself in. But with that, everyone, kick us off.
Yeah, no, well said, definitely relevant all over. We try to kind of structure it in such a way that, you know, from what we thought is the most important to the least important, but all of the points are very important. So your first thing might be an appointment at some sort of authority. So yeah, in the Netherlands, you're going to have a gemeente afspraak, a gemeente appointment. They, you know, you've landed, but now you need to register yourself. You need to register that you live in that specific municipality, and everything from there onwards would it kind of has a bit of a knock-on effect, because there you'll also get your BSN number. Your BSN number is also your, in many ways, your tax number slash identity number in the country. Okay, everything is linked to that number. You can open bank accounts with that number afterwards, or once you have it, you can. After that, you can apply to open your medical aid, but we'll get to that now. But the one thing that stood out, so for me, is that appointment is so important, but there's many things that you need to take to that appointment. But before you even get there, just to get that appointment, so if you were to land in the Netherlands, you know, the thing that we that kind of that I thought, you know, we can do this better in our company. We can kind of make this appointment for our colleagues in other gemeentes, because what they try and do is just to plan it in Amsterdam. But Amsterdam has got such a backlog that new colleagues arrive and they are potentially here for 2 months or, you know, 6 weeks, 5 weeks, and they still haven't had their appointment, which has got this big knock-on effect of them not getting their BSN number. And if something goes wrong in that appointment that you don't have the correct documentation, you know, you might find yourself here for a few months without just ticking that box. So what I suggested, or what we suggested, was to make that appointment outside of Amsterdam, and also encourage people that comes to the Netherlands not to live those first few weeks potentially not in Amsterdam. One, the accommodation is a little bit cheaper outside. Two, you'll get your appointment a little bit quicker. And from there on, you're more than welcome to move to Amsterdam if you can afford it, and if you do find a flat or apartment somewhere there. You know, that's a different thing. The other thing that caught our eye is the fact that not all municipalities or gemeentes do actually accept, because you need to register at an address. Okay, not all municipalities accept an Airbnb as a legal address for yourself. So if you come in and you stay there, maybe in a long stay, maybe if you've got a contract there as a long stay Airbnb, I'm not sure. But if you've got something like a 30-day contract with an Airbnb host, they won't actually take that as legal address, which surprised me.
Yeah, and I actually also had a question related to this, because have you been also, when you did this, set up this list, so obviously one part, people come over for a company and they set you up maybe in a temporary accommodation for 3 or 6 months. But it could also be that you either have to arrange yourself, or you don't come for a company and you need to obviously also find your feet. So if an Airbnb is not valid, what are alternative options to sort of not have this issue in your initial few weeks?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So obviously I'm not an expert in this, but this is exactly my question then to the colleague that, you know, me and him both spoke to HR. And effectively, you know, our company, they make the appointment for you at the gemeente, but they do not set you up in accommodation. So you need to find your own accommodation. So the ideal is that situation is that you find accommodation where you sign a lease agreement before your appointment. So you might be here for 4 weeks and then you'll have your appointment. But it's so difficult to get accommodation before you actually head over. You know, that's almost impossible. Not impossible, but it's very, very
difficult.
It's a
bit chicken and egg in that sense.
Exactly. So what I've heard from our gemeente, our municipalities, I've asked the exact question when we were there for a whole different reason. I just asked because it was on this topic a few days before we spoke to HR. And they said that you can, with the gemeente in Woerden, you can kind of backdate it. You can make another appointment to update your address details. Okay, so they'll give you a bit of a leeway. But that you find, what I think is, you find that in the smaller municipalities. But these big municipalities, The Hague or Amsterdam, they seem to be a little bit less flexible on this. Yeah. So this must come up a lot of the time. So please, if there are ideas out there, if you do have a different experience where you were able to use your Airbnb accommodation in the meantime, please let us know. However, it has changed a little bit as far as I could understand, because all of my colleagues have this little conundrum that they sit with. Okay. But it's that chicken and egg thing. So if you have your appointment, your gemeente appointment a little bit later, that might give you some time to get your ducks in a row and to have an address that you can actually register with. But the other thing that caught our eyes, and I kind of want to wrap this up to go to the next point, is your documents, your certificates, birth and marriage certificates. Needs to be the full certificates. We've said that in the past. And it needs to be apostilled. And now if you come from South Africa, it needs to go through the DIRCO process, okay? So that's a little bit different than what we were able to do that through, I can't remember, it was through a court. You had some sort of an advocate or some sort of a lawyer that took it to court, and it could be apostilled there. Apparently, and this was in the gemeente of Haarlem, where it's not accepted. It needs to go through an official process through DIRCO. So, yeah, I don't even know what DIRCO stands for, but I made that note. And but that's the funny thing, people that you know, if once you are in that process of actually relocating, you know about DIRCO. You need to apostille your full birth certificates and full marriage certificates there. You can come over and register a gemeente without your documents being apostilled, but you run the risk of, in the Netherlands, they don't see you as a registered married couple, which is potentially a bit of a, yeah, that could have some other consequences. Yeah. But I don't know if you've got any other points to add to the gemeente afspraak or the gemeente appointment or the municipality appointment, but otherwise we can jump over to the next one.
Yeah, sure. I think that they're already like 5 points for people to just take note of. So I think
and maybe to comment as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if we've got something wrong, please comment. Or if you've got a different experience, maybe you are in a smaller town somewhere else and you know, they're a little bit more flexible there.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think I see the next topic is a fun one as well, public transport.
Yes, so you've got public transport, but just before that, I just wanted to mention on the bank account one. Bank account, there's a way to actually open a bank account and get your salary paid into a bank account that belongs to you without having your BSN number, because there's always that delay. And it's by opening a bank account through Bunk, BUNQ. In other parts of the world, you might find other neo online banks. Do it, you know, get yourself your bank account number so you can have your salary paid in there. It's not only Bunk. We're not, promoting any bank here. You can do it through Wise as well, formerly known more for their transfer services, but they're now also a very good neo online bank. Also Revolut. As long as you have a IBAN number or an account number where they can pay your bank account, your bank account, nice, your salary in, that is then fine. Okay. Yeah. So wrapping that up is just get that within the first few days, get yourself a online bank account. You can always do the paperwork or the final touches on your paperwork at the bank, or open another bank account at another bank eventually once you have your BSN number.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, you get your BSN number after your appointment at the municipality. Public transport. This is one of the big ones. What we found is that some of our colleagues, they come over with no euros or with a card. We'll touch on that as well now, is with a card that doesn't really work here, a MasterCard or Visa. Yeah. I know MasterCard and Visa works all over the world, but for some reason, and that's actually our next point, it doesn't work everywhere here. But now you need to pay for your public transport. So what we recommended is for the company is that they might get some anonymous openbare vervoer or public transport cards for these new starters to actually just use in those first few days, you know, because otherwise you might have to, okay, then pay for a ticket, a train or a tram or a metro or whatever, and then you have to put it on your expense claim. And a lot of the times you don't even know how the expense claim works, and you don't want to bother people for 10 or 9 euros or it might, you know, it might add up to 30 or 40 euros in that first week. But you feel, you know, you're new in a company, and then it's just that it's a bit of a niggle to go and ask and put it on an expense claim. So what we recommended is you know, have some anonymous Ovid chip cards, openbaar vervoer kaarte, or public transport cards. So that's basically to wrap it up there. I don't know what you did in the beginning with your public transport.
Yeah, well, obviously I had some family living here already, so they just said, get yourself a card. I think to a certain extent it's cheaper. When you like trains, it's normally the same, but when you go onto buses or to metros and trams, there you pay for, if you don't have it, like a standard card that you carry with you, you pay for a ticket that's for an hour. But if you just swipe your own card, it only charges you for that little part of the trip. So it does work out cheaper. And then obviously I know companies give you like a corporate travel card at some point. But I think to your point as well, to have the anonymous, or the, let's say, where your photo and your name is not on for the first month, to cover that gap and make everyone a bit more or able to get around, I think that's a great tip to take into account for yourself, and also mention to your new colleagues. So good one.
Yeah, for sure, because it's just one thing that you can take off their plate in the beginning.
Yeah. And to pay with cash is also becoming more more of an issue, especially in the Netherlands. So I think that's a great solution.
Because you can swipe these days, you can swipe with your card, your bank card, but that's on to our next point, is that these bank cards, I'm not sure about Visa and MasterCard, but they don't get accepted everywhere.
No.
But let's jump onto the next one. So funny enough, you might find yourself in the middle of, potentially in Amsterdam, you might get away with it, but there's a lot of other places where you might find yourself at the till wanting to pay for your groceries, your first groceries that you're going to buy in this new country, or you're going to hear on Monday about your new colleague that wanted to pay for his first groceries, and the supermarket eventually told him they do not accept the Visa or the MasterCards. That is a bit annoying. I had that, and then I had to go and draw money, go back, and basically redo my shopping. They don't. We've got, is it MasterCards?
Maestro. It's indeed very confusing and weird and frustrating, because to my understanding, Maestro is a sub-department or sub-company of a MasterCard.
Yeah.
And in the Netherlands, they do accept Maestro everywhere, but MasterCard and Visa, to your point, almost nowhere, which I do not understand. But when you want to pay at a till anyway, it's basically only cash or Maestro, because they also don't take credit cards of any form or way or anything. It's basically debit cards and then most likely only Maestro.
Yeah, it's funny. I do not know why it might. And I've got this theory, because MasterCard and Visa, it came out, it's been known quite well, but they have a big exposure to the porn industry and payments that go through the porn industry. And so I thought to myself, is the Netherlands so, is the word righteous, that they kind of block the Visa or the MasterCards as far as possible due to that? I looked into it. It's definitely not to do with that. So,
but the interesting insight, nonetheless, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. They actually get a big chunk of their earnings comes through some dodgy industries, okay, which is, you can say, their fault, but also not really. Any case, let's not talk too much about that specific topic. Let's go on to the medical aid, Zorgverzekering. The only thing that I want to mention here is, in the Netherlands, you are covered by the state medical insurance from the first second that you've put your foot on the ground here. Okay. The thing that you need to know is that only once you register for a medical aid a month or two later, when you have your BSN number and a few other things are in place, you've had your gemeente appointment, then you'll get the backdated bill.
Yes.
Please know about that. This will hurt your pocket if you are not aware of this. You will get a backdated bill that, and it can, at this stage, it's somewhere, if you have the basic insurance, it's somewhere around per person, 115 euros to 140 euros per person per month.
Exactly.
Know about it. It's you can't get around it.
I had that piece of fun. I did it like, I mean, I got there when I was 22, 23, so like medical aid, whatever. And then I did it like two months later, so, or like in the third month. So then I had the 2 months plus the third month all in one go. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a nice surprise. But the next one's also one that falls on that can potentially be a nasty surprise is the municipal taxes.
Yeah.
Municipal taxes, you're going to pay for water, you're going to pay for your, effectively for your rubbish. this service that we see all these dustbins all over the country, just chucking your stuff there and off you go. You think that's it, but there's a whole industry behind it, and that industry needs to be paid for. And it's through municipal taxes. Please be aware, in the Netherlands, you're going to get a bill around about end of Feb, beginning of March, maybe at the end of January already, depending on what municipality you sit in what town. And this bill is for the entire year going forward. You'll get maybe 4 or 5 months to pay it, but it's always nice to kind of just pay it and be done with it. The thing that why we put it on the list is a lot of our colleagues started, let's say, in June or October. And then you'll also get this weird bill on your doorstep somewhere in November for backdating for those months. Now, you can imagine that this adds up. You know, the medical insurance gets backdated. The municipal taxes feels like it's backdated. So all of this can add up. Just be aware of your municipal taxes. Ask your neighbor, what is he paying? Set some money aside from day one. And then you can kind of do that without a big worry.
Yeah, good tip.
Then did you need to do a driver's license here?
Yeah, so I think the thing is, it depends if you come here, and I don't want to spoil the fun to the next step, but doing your driver's license here depends on if you come over with or without 30% ruling.
Yes.
So yes, I did not come with 30% ruling back in the day. So I had to do the theory and the practical exam for my driver's license again.
Wow. Yeah, that's annoying. And that is very expensive. So the thing that I want to share here is the driver's license. If you come over with a 30% ruling, and we'll get into that just now. It's a tax advantage effectively that as an expat that you can get if you meet certain criteria. But then within the rule is actually within the first, or I understood the rule as being within the first 6 months, you need to exchange your license. However, me and Laverne did it after the 6 months because Sia told us, listen, he did it after and he got away with it. So we went and we tried our luck and we also got away with it. So if you haven't, if you're listening now and you haven't done it yet and you think it's too late, just go and give it a try, fill in the procedure, spiel on skuldig and just try it,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I think the rule of thumb is like 6 months after you entered, but indeed, try your luck.
The bad thing is you have to give it up your other license, but it's always easier getting a license in South Africa if you have to go back than trying to pay for 1 year and having to do the theory and the practical.
Yes.
So just quickly on the 30% ruling, not going to dive into that. It's a tax advantage that you get, but there's also some other advantages that you as a highly skilled migrant may get if you meet certain criteria. Go and Google it. And for those not in the Netherlands, go and Google your tax advantages that you might get as an expat. However, in the Netherlands, we tend to focus on the advantages because it's short-term cash flow advantages. There are some disadvantages to this, where on your, let's say, if you buy a house eventually, you won't be able to deduct the same amount of interest from your tax. Okay, so there's advantages, disadvantages for people going on to the 30% ruling or not. Okay. But in the broader term, if you can do the 30% ruling, if you qualify for that, it is a great, great way to kind of do it. And also the thing that I want to mention is that you do not, in the Netherlands, you do not need a BSN number to apply for your 30% ruling. You can always submit your BSN number a little bit later. That keeps people from actually just applying for the 30% ruling, you know, very early on in their journey. And then they only do it after a month or two. And then that 30% ruling will only kick in. Although, you know, they do backdate the payments as well, the tax advantage, but it only kicks in about 5 months or 6 months in some cases after you've been here, where you can really just try and get that appointment as early as possible so that your salary gets, you know, it works in your salary, gets worked into your salary from as early as possible.
Yeah.
The last one is, it's commonly known that the Netherlands, they are a little bit overinsured. And we, I think for a new colleague here, if we have to bring it back to the topic, you know, if you, I would say there are a few insurances that you need to know of and have in your, you know, have in your pocket, if I can call, but don't overinsure yourself. If you've already got insurance other way, you know, other place in the world, that's more long-term insurance maybe, but long-term, short-term doesn't matter. Don't go and overinsure yourself, but please do get a the aansprekelijkheidsverzekering.
Yes.
So if I do go and visit Corey and I do spill my red wine, that's the common example that gets used over your over Celine's white carpet, then even something like that can be then claimed against my aansprekelijkheidsinsurance, and it doesn't cost you or Celine money from your pocket or myself money from my pocket. That is basically a wrap. That's, I think, I've touched on, we've touched on 11 topics. There are many other things. I mean, there's a lot of things you can add for your new colleague. Tell him about the, tell him or her about the pay run dates, about the national holidays, which are, you know, sometimes it's confusing. You know, some of these days are national holidays. Some of them, it's a holiday, but it, but you don't get off on that day. Then always know how it works. Tell them how the timesheets work, you know, expense claims work, how to book leave, all those things. But yeah, that's basically a wrap. That's what we carried over to our HR and they loved it. They're going to incorporate that for new colleagues. So I don't know how it works within your company that you work. You work for a little bit, well, I work for a big company, but your company is a little bit even bigger and even more multinational, if I can use very bad bad term there. Yeah, how do you, if you've got new colleagues, how do they go about
well, I think just to do that in a very short way, we have quite the extensive onboarding process and you sort of, so I didn't start with them as an expat. So obviously this is more things that I hear from others, but they help you with your relocation. They offer you, I think, 3 months of accommodation. And they have someone that helps you with your first year's tax return. So they have all these people or processes in place to sort of mitigate the things we've mentioned, with also, as I understood, a list of similar points that people need to consider or take into account when they come across. So I think the conclusion is that it is good if your company... Well, it's great if your company provides you with this sort of guidance, but it's not always the case. And then a list like the one we've covered can already help you quite a long way. So, yeah.
You've mentioned something there is that tax return. That's actually a good one. I should definitely add that to the list. The tax return, the first year tax return is and it's all over the world. The first tax return, if you even think back to your first tax return in South Africa, it is always a bit of a, you know, they don't really know who you are. You need to fill in everything. And I'm not sure if it's still the same year, but the first one we did in the Netherlands was with pen and paper in a blue book. I think the M book or something.
Oh, wow. No, I've only done the
digital one. If you get help with that, I mean, wow, that's great. But okay. Corey, I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy the rest of my Sunday. And I want to thank you for your time as well. And thanks for hosting this great episode. And I hope the listeners out there got something from it, at least some food for thought, maybe.
Yeah, indeed. No, I must say thanks to you as well. And thanks for all the effort. And looking forward to the next chat. So have a good Sunday and speak again soon.
All right. Awesome. Cheers.
Bye.